going to learn the halachas of Yom Kippur. I doubt if we're going to be able to do more than that tonight. Okay. The mitzvah of having to eat on Erev Yom Kippur does not start till the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, not the night before. On Erev Yom Kippur, either at night or early in the morning, there's a minute to make kaparos. Some people do it with chickens. Some people do it with live fish. And some people do it with money. Whatever you normally do, that's what you should do. And it says in the Machzorim what to say and how to do it. And if you're using chickens, what chickens to use for which people. I'm not going to go into the halachas of kaparos since it's the minig and do whatever your minig is. The chickens, however, or the money, or the fish, should somehow find their way to tzedakah. So if you're going to eat the chickens, you should give their equivalent money to tzedakah, or you should give the chickens away to poor people to eat, or the fish, or the money, that people should benefit from it, poor people should benefit from it. A shachris, Erev Yom Kippur, we don't say Nizmor V'Soda, we don't say Tachnun or Lam Natseach, and we don't say Avinu Malkeinu either. There's a halacha that you have to eat Erev Yom Kippur. And there are various opinions what that means. Some say that you have to eat 2 days' worth on Erev Yom Kippur. Some people do that every day, so it's not a problem. Others say that it's enough to eat what you wouldn't be allowed. What you wouldn't be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, which is koseves hagasa, which is more than a kezayis, a little bit less than a kebeya. That's the amount that a person should, should eat minimally. And the minig is, and that's what you should do, is to eat 2 Yom Tiftika meals, one in the late morning and one in the late afternoon. And the one in the late afternoon is called Suda Matzekes. In the morning meal, there's a minig also to eat fish as part of the meal, and chicken. One should not eat at either of the meals heavy foods, nor mitzvah ha-din, it says, really, you shouldn't eat milchiks, Erev Yom Kippur. However, some people have a minig. The first meal they eat is a milchik meal, and the second meal a fleishik meal. But in any case, you should eat light foods that will enable you to fast well and not lay in your stomach and cause the fasting to be a problem, the davening to be a problem. You should wash and make a motzi for these meals, but you don't need lechem mishnah, and you don't, make any kind of kiddush or anything like that. There is a minig, though, by any kind of sudas mitzvah, and this is sudas mitzvah, to light candles, without any bracha, obviously, but they have candles lit by the suda. The main thing of Erev Yom Kippur is that a person should make a final reckoning of his year, and the people that he has to make amends with, he should make amends with on Erev Yom Kippur. And it says on Erev Yom Kippur, even if you know you were the one in the right and the other person is the one in the wrong, you should still make an attempt that you should be the one to appease the other person if they're not appeasing you. There's also a minig, chiyuv, that's minig, to go to a mikveh, Erev Yom Kippur. Even for people who don't go to the mikveh Erev, other Yomim Tovim, Erev Yom Kippur is a special halacha of going to the mikveh. This applies, our minig is only that men do this. Women, surely not married women, and even married women, our minig is that they don't go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur, for various reasons. If you have the minig to go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur and you are a woman, then you should do your minig. An unmarried woman, even if somehow they have the minig to go, here they can't go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. The minig hamakom is not to let unmarried women go to the mikveh. Not just that they don't have the minig to go, we don't allow them to go. Married women, the minig here is not to go, but if a married woman wants to go, she can find a mikveh that's open for women and go to the mikveh Erev Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's not really that clear what to do. Is this done just to dump, or with all the also partially careful all the halakhos of hadith and everything?
So the chatzila should be careful with all the dins of chatzila. In other words, a man should make sure his body is clean and his hair is not knotted and his nails are cut. Yeah, it's a sheet that holds you make a brach on this tefillah. So it's a tefillah that should be done carefully. If you can't go to the mikvah, then you can go into a swimming pool for a man. This does not help for Kalim, nor does it help for regular tefillah for women. Not women Erev Yom Kippur, but women regularly. But a swimming pool that's in the ground, not above the ground swimming pool. A swimming pool in the ground, you can also be tovel in. That's second best. And third best, if you can't even have that, then you should make sure that you take a shower and at least 9 kavim, about 24 quarts of water, pour over your body. The minig is that when you do this tefillah, you say you go down 3 times, and in between, before the first time, after the first time, after the second time, after the third time, you say bidui in the mikvah. Okay, one should wear already. You should do this before mincha, and from mincha time already, a person should be wearing big day yomtiv, big day Shabbos for Yom Kippur already. Should be dressed for Yom Kippur by mincha, not come in weekday clothing. And an oval is allowed to daven Erev Yom Kippur mincha. In after mincha, after Shmona Esrei, we say vidui, just like we do on Yom Kippur. And the vidui on Yom Kippur, which is also applies to Erev Yom Kippur, if you're in the middle of vidui and they're already doing Chazaras Hashatz, then if you say Yulu Ratzonim Refi before you start the vidui, then in the middle of vidui you stop for Kedusha, for the Omeins of Kaddish, of what's it called, up until Tiskabel, and all the Omeins in Shmona Esrei, Chazor Sashatz. If you haven't said Yiyula Ratzon, if you're saying Vidui and you haven't said the Yiyula Ratzon before that, then you can only answer Omein to Shomea Tfila and to Hamelech HaKadosh, and to the Omeins in Kaddish and Baruch Hu, you can answer also. Okay. It's a good idea throughout Yom Kippur, if you know that you're going to extend your Shmon Esrei and be hearing brachas of Chazar Sashatz, that you should say Yiyul Ratzon before you start the Vidui. Okay, there's also a minig after Mincha to get Malkus, symbolic Malkus, that somebody hits you with a belt 39 times on the back, lightly, as a symbol of Malkus. There's such a minute. A child should not do it to his parents, but a wife can do it to her husband. Yeah. But I warn you, it may be dangerous.
Lightly.
It's not. There's no Indian to do it hard.
Yeah, you have a good question.
Okay. After Suda Matseket, if it's still time to eat, you're allowed to eat. However, lechatchila, you should say specifically before you bench that you don't plan to start the fast, that you want to be able to continue eating. The candles are lit like every yomtiv, and the woman who makes shechiyonu at the time she lights candles should say the shechiyonu when she lights candles. If she doesn't normally make a shechiyonu when she lights candles, she should wait until Kol Nidre, and then we say shechiyonu together, and she should say the shechiyonu then. If she says shechiyonu by candles, then she shouldn't say it again at Kol Nidre when everybody says shechiyonu, it's a bracha levatola. She already said her shechiyonu on Yom Kippur.
Which is preferable to do?
Which is preferable, whatever the minig is. If you don't have a specific minig, it's probably better to wait and say the shechiyonu together with everybody. If you have a specific minute, if a woman's been saying Shechiyonu her whole life, when she lights candles, every yomtiv or whatever, she should say Shechiyonu by candlelight. Okay, in addition to the regular yomtiv candles, there are other candles that there's a minute to light on Erev Yom Kippur. Every married man should light a candle that's called Ner Neshama, for his own Neshama. Okay, people who do not have parents should light at least one yahrzeit candle for both parents. Some people have a minhag to light a separate candle for each one, and some people have a minhag to light for all relatives of the seven relatives a separate candle for each one. But mikra din, or mikra minhag, so dinim in these things, mikra minhag, one candle for both parents even is enough, and surely for all the other relatives. But some people have a minhag. What? No, these are only if they're not alive. That's a yahrzeit thing. For the living, you only light for yourself. Okay. In addition to that, a person should light another 24-hour candle that is made just to give light in the house, so you can make Havdalah from that, light the Havdalah candle from that, Motzei Yom Kippur. Because in order to make Havdalah, to make a bracha, Borim Ra'esh, on Motzei Yom Kippur, is unlike Motzei Shabbos, where you can just light a match and light a candle. Here you have to light a ner sheshavas, a ner that rested. In other words, a ner that was burning the whole Yom Kippur, the heter. So you lit before Yom Kippur and burned through Yom Kippur. So therefore you should have such a candle burning, such a source of, if you have a gas stove with a pilot light, it's good enough to have that. And the pilot light was ner sheshavas. You don't have to light it special. But if you don't have a gas stove with a pilot light, you should light a separate 24-hour candle. That's purpose is to give light, not the candles of your site, not the candles that you light for your own neshama. This one is made to use on Yom Kippur for light. And then that's called a ner sheshavas, and you light your Havdalah candle, Motzei Yom Kippur, from that. If you don't have a light like that, then Motzei Yom Kippur, you can't light the Havdalah candle from another fire directly, but you light a match, light another match from that, and then from the second match you can light the Havdalah candle. But it's preferable to have this near Shishavas, yeah? Okay, next.
If a person did light near Shishavas, but got mixed up with which one was supposed to be for which.
Yeah, you can light from any of them. Okay, so now they're not Asur Bahanoah. Okay, and the next, okay, the minhag is, our minhag is that everybody wears a kittel, men, and women with preferably white clothing on Yom Kippur. Also, people should not wear gold jewelry on Yom Kippur. You're allowed to go into the bathroom with a kittel, right, if you're only going to urinate. Otherwise, you have to take the kittel off. But you're stopped to walk into the bathroom, right, surely okay with a kittel, even though there are those that say you shouldn't walk into a bathroom bechlal with a kittel, but there are enough reasons why our bathrooms aren't considered real bathrooms, and there definitely the Mate Ephraim says that you're allowed to, what's it called, go into a bathroom, even to urinate with a kittel on, so there's enough reason to not to be machmer and to go into the bathroom with a kittel, unless you're going to do Nasit Tzroch of Gedolim, then you have to take the kittel off. Should take off her wedding band if it's gold? Yeah. The gold watches, anything that's really gold. Just gold color, it's not a problem. Cheta Egel wasn't with gold coloring, it was with gold, real gold. Okay. Before Kol Nidre, it's an idea to say Tefillah Zaka, and in Tefillah Zaka, you forgive everybody who did anything against you. The exception to that is you don't have to forgive money, things that people damage you that you still can collect, and you don't have to forgive people who caused you a bad name that they haven't corrected. Okay. Also, even though it's an idea for a person to be Mavra Midosa, and to forgive people who sinned against him, even if they don't ask mechila. But on the other hand, if you have the feeling that if you do that, the people will just continue abusing you or other people, because they'll figure that they can do whatever they want and they'll always be forgiven, and then there's an idea to make sure that the people ask forgiveness and show that they have remorse, rather than just forgive them outright and encourage them to continue doing these things in the future.
How are you supposed to know if somebody asks forgiveness and you feel remorse
or not? Give them the benefit of the doubt. Somebody asked you already, right? Unless you just came over and said, mochel me, what's it called, and you know that the person, you know, killed your mother this year or whatever, and and he really has to ask mechila and he doesn't really mean it, then you can say no unless you really mean it and you won't do it again or whatever. And then the mother
again. I won't mind the mom.
Okay, I'll go to the halachas of Yom Kippur itself. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat or drink. You are allowed to swallow your saliva. However, it is an idea that you shouldn't be dafka, you know, how can I say this without getting everybody? Accumulate saliva of a dafka to swallow it. That you shouldn't do. Okay. When it's about you, it doesn't make a difference. You're just thinking about somebody else the week that that's very big. Okay. You're allowed to smell sweet-smelling things, tabak, shmek tabak, or hadasim, or smelling salts, right? And you make the proper bracha on it, if you do. And there's an inyan to do that, in order you should have, try to get at least mea brachas, yeah? Somebody has to take medicine. So if it's just uncoated pills without any water, you can take those on Yom Kippur, as long as they're the kind of medicines you're allowed to take on Shabbos. In other words, there's something for a condition that affects your entire body. But if they're just for minor aches and pains, then you're not allowed to take it, not because of Yom Kippur, but because of any Shabbos, you're not allowed to take medicine like that. Yeah. It depends what's wrong with your eyes. If it's Visine, something like that, that you can't do, for many reasons. One, it could be Rechitza, it could be Sicha, which is a separate prohibition. Also, it's Refuah, which is also because you just have tired eyes. If you have an infection in your eyes, that probably considered Cholish Yeshbo Sakonim eyes, and you surely are allowed to take that kind of medicine on Shabbos or Yontif. That's not a problem. The only problem, and it's no problem because of Sicha or it's Rechitza because it's for Refuah, the only problem could be if it's a salve, then it may be a problem of an isodorais of smearing it, and then it would have to be really something that's a life endangering. But if it's not a salve and it's for eyes, you are allowed to take it on Shabbos, use it on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and you're allowed to use it on Yom Kippur too. A migraine that you would have to lie down because it's so intense. So that's the issue of taking medicine in general doesn't apply. And if you can take it without water, you can just take the pill. If it's an uncoated pill, it's also okay. If you have to take water, then it has to be something that is life-threatening. Okay. If it's not life-threatening, then you can't take it with water. Okay. Pregnant and nursing women in general have to fast on Yom Kippur. If there are extenuating circumstances, aside from the fact that they're just normally pregnant or nursing, then should ask a shaila. And if there's some kind of life-threatening situation, then there's heterim for them to eat. Obviously, it's maybe they have to eat, and it depends how they have to eat. Not every time that you're allowed to eat, you're just allowed to eat straight out. Sometimes you have to eat b'shiurim, which we'll get to. Okay, someone who is sick and needs to drink, that doesn't need to eat, is only allowed to drink and not eat. And vice versa, too. If he only has to eat and not drink, which is usually not the case, then he can only eat and not drink. Somebody who can get by eating less than the amount that you would get courage for. What's it called? It's called a chatzi shir. In order to have to bring a sacrifice or to get a death penalty, you have to eat a certain amount. Less than that amount is prohibited, but it doesn't have the same gravity. So therefore, if you can get away with eating lesser than that amount, then you do that. If you have to eat regular and it's life-threatening unless you eat that amount or more, then you can eat that amount or more. That's why you have to ask a shaila, and you have to speak to the doctor and find out what exactly is necessary. If you're eating b'shiurim, the shear for solid food is less than 30 grams, a little bit less than 30 grams of the food, and the shear for liquid foods is a little bit less than 40 grams of liquid. And you have to eat those less than 30 grams or less than 40 grams separated by 9 minutes in between each thing. In other words, if it's enough for you to get a little bit at a time over the day of liquids, and that will avoid you being in any danger, right? And you don't have to drink regular. Then you drink less than 40 grams of water. Now, wait 9 minutes at least, and then drink another less than 40 grams. Wait another 9 minutes at least, and then and more. And you spread this out as much as you need over the day. Same thing goes with food. If you eat less than 30 grams of food now, you wait another 9 minutes and eat another less than 30 grams of food, right? Throughout the day, you never ate at one time a shear, and you didn't eat it consecutive enough or close enough that it should all, accumulate into one shear. The 9 minutes separates, it already, each one is considered by itself. You can also do the following. If you have to eat and drink, you can eat less than 30 grams, then drink almost immediately less than 40 grams. The eating and drinking do not accumulate together. And then wait 9 minutes. For instance, you can do eat less than 30 grams, wait 4 minutes, drink less than 40 grams, wait another 5 minutes and eat again less than 30 grams, wait another 5 minutes and eat and drink. So you have nine, as long as there's 9 minutes between every drinking and every eating, even though there's not 9 minutes between the eating and the drinking, that's okay. Okay, yeah.
Non-sick person, is he allowed to have more than, I mean, less than a shear?
No. Less than a shear is usur from the Torah. It's just that so for somebody who has to eat or drink, it's better to do the minimum and not to do the maximum. So if you can get away with doing it less than a shear, better. Right? If you can, then you can have the shear. But somebody who has no reason to eat or drink at all can't take less than a shear.
Like, you were saying that someone has a very, very bad migraine and they have to lay down. They're not life-threatening, but they can have it. If they have a tiny bit of water, just take them that pill if they can have it.
That's for non-life-threatening things, even less than a shear is usher. Okay, children. Children under 9 years old should not fast, and you shouldn't let them fast, even at night. Should eat normal. Shouldn't even fast through the night. From 9 until 11, you should train them, if they're capable of doing it, to fast through the night and a little, eat breakfast a little bit later in the daytime than they normally do. And as they get older, in other words, a 9-year-old should fast through the night and eat breakfast 10 minutes later than he normally eats breakfast in the morning. A 10-year-old maybe should eat breakfast an hour later than he eats, right? By 11, and if the child is weak or can't do it or is extremely thirsty and night says, I need to have a drink, then let him drink. There's no chiyuv to force the child to fast, even a 9-year-old, until 11 years old. At 11 years old, right, there, 11 and 12 for a boy, and 11 for a girl, there's a chiyuv of them, al tzchinuch, to fast the entire Yom Kippur, if they can do it. If it's difficult for them, then they should be allowed to eat and drink regular. If they see that it's really difficult for them, right? It's not just that they're hungry and they just spoil little brats that, you know, are hungry all the time, and you tell them, look, it's Yom Kippur and you're supposed to, be fasting, and they say, I really feel sick, I really feel weak. It doesn't have to be anything life-threatening, it doesn't have to be even really, really bad. You can still let them eat. You can try to push them in a way that they really can do it. But if they really feel weak, faint, really, more than just hungry, right? That you're supposed to feel hungry on a fast. Okay? If they're more than hungry, then they really put up a fight, then you should let them eat. Yeah, there's no such thing as three fasts before bas mitzvah. That's a misnomer. There's no inyan to fast any other fast before at 11 years old for a girl, or 12 years old, 11 and 12 for a boy. No other fast is there an inyan of chinuch. So I don't know where this came from that people say fast three fasts before thing. There's no such thing. any other fast, even Tisha B'Av, a child who's not yet Bar Bas Mitzvah can eat.
So regular. It would be just for chinuch and what she wants?
Just for chinuch and just 11 years old, 12 years old for a girl, what's it called? Nothing to do with three fasts before Bas Mitzvah. Okay, again, it's common, known, commonly known thing, and it's a misnomer for some reason. What? A boy also 11 and 12. And a girl 11, at 12 she has to fast Minat Torah. Right, so at 12 years old for a girl and 13 for a boy, they have the laws of every other adult, and unless it's life-threatening, they have to fast, even if it's very difficult and they put up a tantrum or whatever, they have to fast unless it's life-threatening. Okay, it could be life-threatening for you if it is. Okay, if you are eating on Yom Kippur, the heter, you don't make any kind of kiddush, you don't eat lechem mishnah, right? You eat what the barest minimum that you have to eat, and if you're not sure what the barest minimum is because the doctor says you have to eat regular, then you eat regular. But you don't, and if you have to eat bread, you eat bread, you have to wash for the bread, and you wash your entire hand, not up to your knuckles like you do other things. If you have to wash and eat bread, you wash your whole hand, and you bench, and you say Yalla V'Yavo, and you say Yom HaKippurim Azeh, but you don't make Kiddush, you don't make any Kiddush. Okay. Okay, washing on Yom Kippur. You can't, what?
You ate Bishurim.
No, you're not eating Kazayas then.
What?
If you're eating Bishurim, you're not going to eat a Kazayas.
You can't bench.
So you don't bench.
Well,
if it accumulates, you didn't eat Bishurim. The whole idea of eating Bishurim is that you didn't eat a shear. Right, breaks it up for benching too. The shear is. Yeah, but you're not going to eat less than a kokoseves every 9 minutes. You're not going to eat in between that enough to have maybe it's a size. Maybe. It's shayach. Yeah, theoretically, it's shayach. What? Right, you don't make a bracha, but you should wash anyway.
The person forgets it, that Yom Kippur eats, and he realizes, does he have to
He has to continue eating. Does he have to throw up?
No, say Yalla V'Yavo.
Does he have to say Yalla V'Yavo? If he ate the Isser. Yeah, he has to bench and say Yalla V'Yavo. Okay, washing. You're not allowed to wash pleasure washing or just washing stam, anything, even cold water, even to stick your finger into water. However, when you get up in the morning, when you wash negelwasser, that's not for pleasure, that's a halacha. That's to get away ruach ro. Or if you're dirty and you have to wash away the dirt, that part that's dirty, you're allowed to wash.
Are you allowed to splash water on your face to wash yourself up?
But we'll see in a second. If what's it called, if you go to the bathroom, so you wash after the bathroom up until your knuckles. Okay, the same thing goes in the morning, you wash up until your knuckles. And again, if you get dirty or something and you have to wash off the dirt, you only can wash that part that's dirty, not your whole hand if only one finger is dirty. In the morning, okay, you can't wash your face, right, to make yourself refreshed. That's exactly what's also. What you can do is after you wash negelwasser and you dry your hands minimally and they're a little bit moist, you can put them over your eyes to take out the dirt from your eyes to wake yourself up. But more than that you can't do. Okay. Or you can take a washcloth that is not wet, just slightly moist, and also wash out the sand from your eyes.
And you should be able to do it in the water.
What?
Because you're washing something dirty.
Yeah, but since it's not real dirt, and it's basically made for tainug of waking yourself up, not just to wash, not just washing out that little spot where they're saying, you're putting it over your entire eye, then you can't just do it like that. Do it only this way. Yeah.
If you need to prepare food or something for your children, or wash baby bottles or something...
Right, that's not pleasure washing, and that's your thing.
Should you be careful not to get as wet as you could if you are...
Yeah, you shouldn't, minimal. You shouldn't, right, whatever's necessary is necessary. What's not necessary is also.
Doesn't the washcloth idea get into the problem of other halachas?
Well, if you did Erev, you wet the washcloth Erev Yom Kippur. You let it dry out, so it's very more, it's slightly moist Yom Kippur morning, then you can put it over your eyes. You can't wet it on Yom Kippur. Okay, you're not allowed to put any kind of oils, even oils that you'd be permitted to put on in Shabbos, in other words, very free-flowing, not so, what's the word I'm looking for? Thick, what's the one with a C?
Viscous.
What?
Viscous.
Viscous? Okay, that's not the word I was looking for. But the, right, you know, or any kinds of deodorant, perfume, even deodorant to take away smells. That's called lahavir hatzazoama, or take away sweat, or whatever. Any kind of ointment or liquid or whatever you can't use on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to use deodorant. A powder, lechora should be okay. Powder is not called sicha. It's only some kind of liquid that's called sicha, or a mishcha, right? A salve is sicha, but spray deodorant also not. It's liquid. Same thing goes with perfumes, anything like that. But you're allowed to put these things on before Yom Kippur, and they should remain on your body on Yom Kippur. But you can't put them on Yom Kippur.
The morning thing again. So rinsing your mouth out, you're going to spit it out right away?
Yes, on Yom Kippur, you can't rinse your mouth out. And other tanesim, except for Tisha B'Av, if a person really feels bad, then he theoretically can put less than a revius of water in his mouth, hold his head down, and spit it out. On Yom Kippur, you can't do that. Not only can't you do it because we're afraid you may come to drink the water, but it's called rechitza. You're washing your mouth. And that's awesome.
Can you brush your teeth with the water and spit it out?
No water, no tooth. What are you spitting out? Toothbrush? yes, as long as the toothbrush doesn't make your gums bleed, for sure. If the gums won't bleed, you can do that. You can use a dry toothbrush to brush your teeth, and as long as you're not doing it in a way that's for sure going to make your gums bleed. Even if it's possible your gums will bleed, it's still mutter to do. Okay, next. If you have some kind of medical reason why you have to put some kind of ointment on, again, if it's a thick ointment, there may be problems because of malacha, not because of sicha. But if it's not a thick ointment and it's for medicinal purposes, that's okay. Okay, even if a person has acne and they want to put on some kind of liquid on the acne, even on Yom Kippur, right, well, the truth is that may be refuah, that may be, there's a lot of variables over here. There's problems with doing something that's medicinal, that you can't do medicinal things on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur is included. There's problems that it may be a malacha of shmearing, right? And then there's a problem of sicha. So even where it's not a problem of sicha, it still may be one of the other two things, so you should ask a shayla. Okay, shoes. Can't wear leather shoes. But shoes that look like leather, shoes that or any other material besides leather are okay. However, there is an inyan not to wear a shoe that is so comfortable that you don't feel standing on the ground. In other words, the shoe is extremely comfortable non-leather shoes. And the meaning is like that. People wear sneakers that are very comfortable, or artificial material shoes that are mamish like shoes. But there is an inyan not to do that. And some people have the chumrah not to wear shoes at all, just to go stocking feet, except when they're walking out. Shoes that don't look like a shoe, in other words, that are opened. Most of them don't have a heel, a back, right, or a front, or whatever, just like a slipper. So that's a chumrah. But me'ikra adin, you can wear any shoe that's not leather. Even if the shoe is not leather and the laces are leather, that's also okay.
Any kind of leather trimming on it?
Leather trimming depends. On Yom Kippur, you should avoid any leather trimming at all. Okay. If, however, the shoe has leather trimming that has nothing to do with the shoe itself. In other words, it doesn't strengthen the shoe. It's just mamish, just decoration. There, if you have nothing else, there's a reason to be mad to that. For children, you surely can be mad to that. If the leather gives body to the shoe, then it's also, both for children and for adults.
The whole Yom Kippur,
you have to wear shoes other than leather. Yeah. From before Kol Nidre till... No. We get the Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, all the halachas of Tisha B'Av apply, except for sitting on a chair. It's the only difference. And Yom Kippur, you can sit on the chair the whole time. There's no, it's not a velus. It's just inui. Okay. If a person has to wear shoes because of medicinal reasons, there's something wrong with their feet, and they can't, they must wear leather shoes or special shoes with special arches or whatever, somebody has that shiloh, should ask the shiloh what to do. Probably you'll be allowed to wear leather shoes. There's no other alternative. Okay, not allowed to have marital relations on Yom Kippur, night or day, and a person should conduct himself with his wife as if she was a nida, with all of the harchakos, right, not handing things to each other, whatever, but to pretend that she's a nida for that day, both night and day. Okay, that's what's proper. Okay, now with children, you can feed children that are up until 9 or 10, okay? However, the other things, to wash a child or to put deodorants or things like that on children or to put leather shoes on them, okay, you shouldn't do it unless it's absolutely necessary for that child. Child would get sick or even minimally sick without being bathed or something. Otherwise, you shouldn't bathe your children, nor shouldn't you put leather shoes on them or anoint them or whatever, or put, you know, salves on them or anything like that. If, what's it called, the child does it on his own, if he's less than 9, he's not bar chinuch yet, or even a little bit less than 9, he's not educational, he doesn't know yet what Yom Kippur is all about. Can't explain to him, this is Yom Kippur, a special day, he can't do these things, he's not yet ready for that, and if he does it on his own, you don't have to stop him. If he's older than that, and he knows already what Yom Kippur is all about, then you have to stop him from doing it if you're the parent. You have to stop him from wearing leather shoes, you have to stop him from washing, stop him from putting on any kind of ointments or things like that. From, what's it called, then bar mitzvah, he has his own chiyuv, yeah.
If the child is dirty, can you tell them to wash themselves?
If you're dirty, you could wash yourself too. So you can wash off the dirt, even for your child. And they don't have to do it themselves, you can do it for them. We're talking about here washing them when there's no dirt, just for pleasure. That you can't bathe a child, even an infant, doesn't really need it. Okay? An infant that has to be bathed, and if you don't bathe the infant, that the infant may get sick. All right, then you can bathe an infant. No, but that's not the kind of washing that's also anyway. If your face gets dirty, you can wash it. So you can wash off the dirt, but not more than that. You can't bathe the whole kid because his face is dirty. You can only wash his face or the part of the face that's dirty. Okay. But anything more than that, it depends on if it's something that's absolutely necessary. Again, most of the time, children don't have to wear leather shoes. Right, most children here don't even wear leather shoes on Shabbos, so they surely don't have to wear leather shoes there. So they don't have to wear leather shoes. They don't need deodorant put on. Right, most kids don't even know what deodorant is, probably, little kids. So that for sure is not necessary, and most kids don't need any kind of salves or whatever that you'd be allowed to put on unless there's some kind of medical condition, and that you're allowed to do anyway. Again, with a shiloh, barring other problems. The only thing maybe is washing, and again, I'm not sure, you know, if it used to be that, you know, you had to wash a baby every day and otherwise, today I don't know if that's, you know, necessary. And I guess mothers do bathe their children daily, normally, but I don't know if it's necessarily looked upon that, you know, if you don't bathe your kid one day, something terrible is going to happen to the kid or whatever. Right? It used to be that these, you know, these bassinets, you had to bathe the kid. It was, a ritual that, chas v'shalom, if you didn't do it, who knows what would happen to the baby. I don't think today that's the case anymore. Is it? Am I wrong? I don't know. I never bathed a baby in my life. You know what? Okay, so then, if the kid, you know, is dying to take a bath, you're allowed to let him take his own bath, but you can't give it to him. Okay, because the halacha is you can't give a child something that's prohibited directly. That you don't have to stop them from doing it, either if you're not their parent, or even if you are their parent and they're not yet at the educationable age. But if you are the parent and they are of an educationable age, then you have to stop them from doing something that's prohibited as chinuch. Okay, so those are the big.
Can they eat anything under nine?
What?
They can eat anything under nine.
Treats, Kippur, yeah, it's not avelus. It's ingling, so it doesn't make a difference if they eat candy or they eat bread. It's on Tisha B'Av, it's a different story because it's avelus. You're mourning, right? So, and again, I mean, I think candy. But on Yom Kippur, the whole thing is ingling, so it doesn't make it, if they're eating already, they can eat something they enjoy. Why shouldn't they? It's Yom Kippur, why shouldn't they enjoy it?
You need for the mother, giving to
them. What?
Right,
yeah. Okay. No, you shouldn't let them, you know, sit around in shul, you know, sitting there munching in front of other people. That's not proper. So I think of the most dia somebody wrote in. You shouldn't give your children, it was an Englishman who wrote it, sorry, Khadi. Yeah, I'm sure that, right? You shouldn't give your kids munchies that are crackly because it disturbs the davening. Okay, halavai, that should be the only thing that disturbs the davening, is kids munching on potato chips. If you're in a shul, you could hear the potato chips crackle, that's a pretty good shul. Okay, Korin, another thing. When and Yom Kippur, three times, we fall Korin v'nofim al p'neihem. We do once like Olenu, like Rosh Hashanah, and there you don't fall on your face again, just like we said Rosh Hashanah. You bow on your knees, and for women, depends on your minig. A woman who wants to fall Korin, I see no reason why she shouldn't, especially if she's behind the mechitza, there's nothing not so new about it. And the woman can fall Korin. The Tanakh is full of women who are mishtachaveh, so it can't be not so new. And there's chiyuvim when women have to mishtachaveh also, like men. So don't see any reason why women should not fall Korin, but if you don't have the minig to fall Korin and you want to rather watch the men do it or whatever, that's also acceptable. But for a man, the minig is that men do fall Korin. You shouldn't fall directly on a bare floor, okay? Even a floor that is tiled or whatever, unless there's something over it that's not connected to the ground, like a rug or something like that, you know, a movable rug. The minig is that if you have a bare floor, to put a towel or paper towels even, doesn't have to be any thickness, just something that separates between you and the ground. And by Olenu, you say, V'anachnu Korin, you bow on your knees, U'mishtachavim, you bend your head over, but you don't fall on your face. The other three times in the Avoda, where you say, Hayu Korin, U'mishtachavim, U'modim, the Noflim al Peneihem, so by Korin you bend on your knees, Mishtachavim you bend your head over and Modim, and then the Noflim al Peneihem, you stretch your body out, not flat on the ground. That's Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim, that we don't do outside the Beis HaMikdash. But you basically are on your knees with your body bent over and your face on the ground. So there's a space between the floor and your chest and stomach, right? They're raised above the ground by your knees, but your face is on the floor. That's called, what's it called, Noflim al Peneihem. And you stay down like that until you say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed, and then you get up. And by Olenu, you say, according to Mishtachim Modin, you get up before you say, Melech Malchi Amlochim, Lifnei, and then when you say, Melech Malchi Amlochim, you get up. But for the other one, you stay down and say, Baruch Shem Kavod, while you're down on the ground. Okay.
Maybe
if it hurts you, if it's very hard to do, right? If I have a gout attack and it's very hard to get, sometimes harder to get up than get down, right? L'chara, you don't have to go to great pain to be mekayim this inyan of Korin, but there's no issur to do it either if you want to do it. But if you have great pain in getting down on the ground, you have arthritis or something like that, and it really really hurts your back pain or something, you don't have to do. A minig is always abrogated by sickness, pain, whatever. Not okay.